Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my critically acclaimed husband, Miko Alon.
Hi, guys.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We're going to open up the show talking all about current events and politics, and then we'll be moving on to the new vegan product segment. This week, we are tasting the brand new plant-based chicken breasts by Light Life. Ooh. And then we'll be closing out the show with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do that on Twitter. I can be found at Vegan Ari and Miko can be found at Miko Alon, or feel free to use our hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one last thing, we are always trying to get more listeners and subscribers. So if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the podcast, we would be ever so grateful for that. Whatever you can do is appreciated. If you want to retweet me when I tweet about the show, that's wonderful. If you want to make your own social media post about the show, we love that too, and we thank you. If you want to post about it in a Facebook group you're in or a Reddit, that also works, and we thank you. And like I say, if you want to spend a little money, we're here for that too. If you want to take out some TV ads or bus ads or billboards, or you want to get some skywriting airplanes or a satellite that writes Vegan Ari Show in the atmosphere, whatever you got, no matter how big or how small, no matter whether your budget is zero or your budget is billions of dollars, we are here for all of it. So a big thank you to everyone who has helped us spread the word about the show. And remember, you can help us more than once. And a big thank you if you are about to help us spread the word, even if it's for the very first time. Now, Miko, let's get down to business. First of all, happy 4th of July from the Republic of Gilead. How do you feel, Miko? How does Independence Day feel to you this year?
You know, I think the analogy I would like to draw, it's like you're on the bridge of the Enterprise and suddenly like all the red lights go on. It's like red alert. And it feels like everyone in America just hit the snooze button or the, you know, silence alarm button to celebrate the weekend. But I, you know, we'll talk about what's been taking place in the wake of the Roe versus Wade, you know, being overturned by the Supreme Court. But as you know, I'm an optimist, and I feel like our nation is in a moment of great peril, obviously on multiple fronts, but we do have the midterms coming up, and I'm optimistic that things can still be turned around.
Well, I've seen a lot of people sharing on social media that they really don't feel like celebrating Independence Day this year in the, you know, wake of millions of women all over the country having their freedom taken away. And I think that that is valid, and I you know, every year with 4th of July, I've a little bit of conflict with it for multiple reasons. And this year, though, it really feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel right to be celebrating, yay, America, when this is the trajectory that our country is on.
I mean, traditionally, people, you know, celebrate 4th of July for freedom and independence. And how can you really do that in good conscience when women have no freedoms in some of the states? I mean, if you don't have autonomy over your own body, you have no freedoms whatsoever. I saw somebody on Twitter said, this 4th of July feels like celebrating the birthday of someone who is in hospice, which is a pretty grim statement. I wouldn't go that far because I, as you know, I have hope that this isn't going to be the permanent direction, but holy shit if people don't realize what's at stake in this upcoming election.
Well, let's talk about some of the stuff that's been going on this week in the country. Like I said, in the wake of Roe v. Wade being overturned, I mean, we had a horrible situation in Ohio that I just learned about this morning, where a 10-year-old girl who was 6 weeks pregnant because she was raped had to be taken to Indiana to get an abortion because Ohio no longer will do abortions after 6 weeks. And this, of course, a lot of people are discussing and, you know, are horrified by. And you know, I also saw this week a politician out of Mississippi, a guy by the name of Philip Gunn. He's the House Speaker there. telling reporters very openly. He was asked, you know, about a specific situation about a 12-year-old girl raped by a relative, by a father, and said, do you feel like in that situation, this girl should have the right to an abortion? And he said, no. He said, every life is valuable. This is what you said. I mean, I have a question for people who say that every life is valuable, every life is precious, even if, you know, a girl is raped. What about the life of the girl? What about her life? Like, you want a 10-year-old, a 10-year-old, to have to carry a baby to term and give birth to a baby from the result of rape? I mean, this is America? Like, this is absolutely so horrifying. And so I hope that these horrific stories and this insanity that is being spouted by these Republican politicians, where they believe that raped children should have to, you know, carry rape babies to term. I hope that this does inspire people to come out to the polls in November and kick these motherfuckers out, because this is a very disturbing trajectory for our nation.
And what's, I think, very instructive for people about what you were just talking about is that this is not some fringe preacher. This is the Speaker of the House in Mississippi. This is mainstream Republicanism now. There are 9 states in which you are not permitted to have an abortion for any reason. That includes rape victims who are children in 9 states.
And more, Texas, and more states are coming.
More states are coming. Texas just put back in the books a law from 1925. That's exactly the same thing. This is what we were talking about last week. They won't even wait the 30 days that they were supposed to. It's absolute insanity.
And let's talk about this bill in South Carolina, another lunatic state, where they're trying to pass, it's, you know, an abortion ban for everything except the life of the mother, which, I mean, I have to ask, in the case of these children, you want to talk about the life of a mother? You want to talk about a 10-year-old having to become a mother and having her life permanently damaged by something like that? Like, okay. All right. South Carolina. No abortion except for, quote unquote, the life of the mother. And this bill also says it would try to make it illegal for someone to even tell somebody else, oh, just so you know, you might not be able to get an abortion for your situation in this state, but if you go to New York or you go to California, you can. It would make it illegal to even share that information with somebody else. Now, obviously, this bill is ridiculous and flies in the face of the First Amendment. I mean, there's no way that this could be, you know, constitutionally legal. But still, the fact that this is the stuff that's being discussed, the fact that these are the laws that are being debated right now, is, like I said, absolutely disturbed. I mean, this is, I don't know what the future of portions of this country are going to look like. I'm serious. We all watched The Handmaid's Tale in horror. We all watched it and went, oh my God, this is so awful. This is so repressive. This is so whatever. I think there were significant portions of this country who watched The Handmaid's Tale and said, oh, this is what we want. And now they're trying to remake the country in the way of The Handmaid's Tale. I honestly think that that's what they're trying to do.
Absolutely, they are.
So there was another disturbing piece of news this week out of Florida. This is after they passed, you know, the Don't Say Gay bill, which we all, you know, we're told, oh, this is just instructional. This is just, you know, teachers from kindergarten to third grade and whatever. Well, now in a place in Florida called Orange County, they're telling teachers who are LGBTQ that they have to take down any family photos from their desks. They can't have any pictures of their spouses. Now, I don't know if this is, again, if this is legal. I don't know if, you know, we have a good friend who lives in Florida who's very politically aware, who told me that the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida was written in such a way that stuff like this could apply under that law. And I just think, again, you know, it really makes you think about the direction of this country when you have LGBTQ teachers being told they're not allowed to have pictures of their family on their desks. I mean, that is really fucked up.
they're also not allowed to talk about their same-sex spouse. They're not allowed to have rainbow stickers. And again, we should talk about the fact that this is, again, the party that claims to be all about freedom. These are the people who said, oh, no, no, you cannot tell my 10-year-old to wear a mask at school. It's tyranny. It's completely an unconstitutional violation of their rights, who want their 10-year-old child to be forced to carry a rape baby to term. I mean, it is the Republican Party is so beyond parody at this point. They love to talk about far-left extremism, which, of course, if you're not familiar, the extremist ideas include healthcare for everyone, let's not have cops shoot everybody on sight, sensible gun control. Those are the far-left ideas in America. And yet here they want rape victims to, you know, be forced to carry pregnancies to term. It is deranged. Republican voters are deranged.
I did see some stuff this week that said that the administration, the Biden administration, is worried about appearing too radical if they talk about expanding the court. I mean, Biden finally did go on the record and said he believes that there should be a bypass for the filibuster so they can codify Roe v. Wade into law. So that was at least something. But I have to say, I'm very confused how you can think that expanding the court from a court that is undeniably unhinged
or and rigged to be that way,
or, you know, saying that we should, you know, get rid of the filibuster, how that appears more radical to you than the Supreme Court overturning a 50-year decision that takes away a constitutional right from women. How can we talk about radical? What that word? I mean, people love to say, you know, oh, AOC, she's so radical. What's she asking for that's so radical? A comprehensive climate change plan? You know, paid for university education, socialized medicine, maternity leave. These are all things that literally nearly every other Western nation already has and has had for decades. I mean, what's more radical? A national healthcare plan or forcing 10-year-olds to carry rape babies? I mean, what are we even talking about here?
I mean, this was really like a bonkers fucking year for the Supreme Court when you think about all the decisions that came down. Obviously, the Roe versus Wade overturning being the top one. We also got rid of Miranda rights. You know, you're supposed to be told by the police that you have the right to remain silent. Well, they no longer have to do that, or maybe they have to, but if they don't, you can't sue them for that and can't get relief for that. They dismantled the EPA's ability to control climate change-producing gases. They have no authority anymore. It's like these people just making up shit as they go along and say this is now the law.
They also overturned a law in New York that was over 100 years old that required people to get a permit for carrying a concealed weapon. That was something else that they did in this cycle. And yeah, we didn't even talk about, you know, what they did with the EPA last week. They ruled on a case that was out of West Virginia that, by the way, wasn't even really an active case. Like, it was something about the Clean Water Act or something, and whatever was being decided, it was already, like, done. And anyway, they ruled on it anyway. And it strips the EPA of their right, as you said, to regulate pollution, you know, greenhouse gases, and it gives it back to Congress. And I think the real problem with that is, I mean, number one, it totally guts their authority. I mean, the EPA, and I want to remind people, the EPA was started under a Republican administration. Nixon started the EPA, okay? I've never understood how they call themselves conservatives, but when it comes to the environment, they don't want to conserve anything. It's like plunder everything, drill everywhere, pollute everything. And the way that this was also being talked about in the media, oh, this is a real loss for environmentalists. Excuse me, but whether you are an environmentalist or not, we all live on the same planet. So if the air is polluted and the waterways are polluted and the planet is heating out of control, you don't get to just get away from that because you're not an environmentalist. I mean, I don't understand the way that the media talks about this as if there's like two sides again to the story. It's like, Should we pollute the shit out of the planet and make it uninhabitable? Or should we not? I don't know. I mean, there's no other planet for us to go to, so maybe we shouldn't. And I think that giving this authority back to Congress is the wrong move, because the EPA is made up of scientists. These are people who study this stuff, who understand. Look at the people we have in Congress. They're idiots. Look at the morons we have in Congress. You want those people deciding whether or not a company should be able to pollute the shit out of our country? I don't want that.
So I guess we can summarize for this Independence Day, our Supreme Court's idea of freedom is you cannot regulate a coal plant, but you can regulate a woman's uterus.
Exactly. This is the trajectory of this country. And I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. I'm not seeing the bold leadership that I think we need from the opposing party. It was a very embarrassing interview that Vice President Harris did this week with CNN, where I think it was Dana Bash was the journalist who she said to, you know, our vice president, a lot of people in the country right now are disillusioned with the Democrats, saying you're not doing enough to stop what's going on here. And Vice President Harris, without missing, she said, well, what do you want us to do? Do what? And I said, and I just immediately was like, this is not the fucking leadership that we voted for. I'm going to need a little bit of a stronger stance than that. About 24 hours later is when Biden said he would support, you know, carving out the filibuster to codify Roe v. Wade into law. But it's really scary right now. And
I mean, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why isn't our Justice Department, the Civil Rights Division, someone saying, you know, as an immediate emergency measure, is like, excuse me, but actually no state can force a rape victim to have to carry a pregnancy to term. Like, let's start there.
You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know. I feel like we don't have bold leadership to take this on right now. I feel like there are politicians talking truth to power. I, you know, want to point out Elizabeth Warren. I want to point out AOC. I mean, Gavin Newsom, our governor here. I mean, this was interesting. He took out a TV ad this week that ran in Florida on Fox, you know, basically trolling Ron DeSantis, saying, you know, he tells you he's all about freedom and whatever. Meanwhile, he's banning books. He's telling people they can't say gay. He's, you know, and it was a very interesting commercial. I've never seen a governor do that. Like, it's not like Gavin Newsom is running for office in Florida. I don't exactly know what the strategy was behind that, but it's interesting. I don't know if Gavin Newsom is thinking about a future presidential run. I don't know.
You know, but he should, because at least there are some bold ideas there.
But yeah, I mean, it really, I'm seeing certain politicians you know, stand out, but those people are not in positions of power the way that our president or our vice president is, you know? Okay, one last thing that I want us to talk about before we move on is this testimony from Cassidy Hutchinson. The January 6th committee had a special hearing. This wasn't supposed to happen. And they were like, there's this surprise witness that's coming forward and she's got new information. And everyone was speculating who it was going to be. And it turned out to be this 25-year-old woman, Cassidy Hutchinson. She was an aide to Mark Meadows, who was the chief of staff for the White House. And this testimony, I mean, it really was bombshell. Testimony. There were a lot of revelations here. Everyone's making, I don't, if you've watched it, she basically said that there was an account that Donald Trump, after he gave that speech, you know, ginning up the crowd to attack the Capitol, that he attacked a Secret Service agent in his limousine. He tried to grab the steering wheel of the car so that he could turn the car around and go to the Capitol building. They wouldn't let him go there. And everyone's making a big deal about that and whether or not that is true or whatever. But who gives a shit? Like, I just have to say, yeah, if he did that, if he didn't do that, it doesn't matter. I think the most damning thing about her testimony was that, and this was you know, firsthand testimony that they all knew that people in the crowd had weapons and that they argued to not have them go through metal detectors, and that knowing that these people had weapons, he still told them to fight like hell, march down to the Capitol and all that. I think that's really the most damning testimony of everything that she said.
It is absolutely the most damning. I mean, he said, Trump personally said this, remove the metal detectors. I want to be there. They're not going to hurt me. He knew the crowd was armed. And a lot of people have pointed out that in the, again, I fail to understand how when we all watched all these crimes go down live, why people still say, well, this is another piece that, you know, may create criminal liability because we can now show that, you know, he knew that the crowd was armed. And I just want to point out, we talked about this a couple of episodes ago. When we talk about incitement to violence and to terrorism, I would hope that people would ask Chris Christie, who prosecuted, as we have talked about, 6 animal rights activists for inciting terrorism, who never did anything except post information about protest targets online. Trump's actions are so clearly incitement of terrorism, I don't know what the hell we're waiting for. I mean, Liz Cheney did say today, as we're recording this on a Sunday, that there likely will be a criminal referral from the January 6th committee for maybe more than one count.
Well, I think that at the very least, I see 2 counts. I'm not a lawyer, but obviously incitement, because he knew that this crowd was armed. He told them to fight like hell, march to the Capitol, and there was imminent violence. And that's how incitement is defined. There was imminent violence following him telling them what to do. And then the second count, I think, has to be fraud, for trying to defraud the United States with regards to the election. I mean, we know that he lied over and over and over again to the American people about the election being stolen, and also tried to get officials to manufacture votes for him. He did this in Georgia, with Raffensperger. I mean, this to me is such obvious fraud. And so I feel like there should be at least 2 counts.
And then there's obviously something that's called, there's obstruction of Congress, and there's corrupt obstruction of Congress when you do it knowing that the action that you're taking is false. And I think that's what the committee has so, indisputably shown, is that it's not that Trump didn't know that he had lost the election. He was told so by everyone, his closest advisors, the lawyers. There's a lawsuit that Dominion, the voting machine company, has against Fox News. And they have internal documentation from Fox that shows that Rupert Murdoch told Trump that he had lost the election. So he knew that all this shit was bullshit. He was spreading the big lie. And it is astonishing to me. I read that they're saying that Trump may try to announce officially that he's running for president in 2024 in hopes of exploiting this, you know, tradition that we have in this country that when people are running for political office, there's not going to be disclosures about them or prosecutions. And I'm kind of like, indict this motherfucker. This should be like a 4th of July gift to America. Indict this motherfucker and every one of these people who sought pardons. We also learned Giuliani sought a pardon. Meadows sought a pardon. And under U.S. law, when you seek a pardon, you are actually admitting to guilt. Arrest these motherfuckers already.
I don't understand something. You said something earlier that if he announces he runs for president, they won't charge you with a crime.
Well, traditionally, the Justice Department, like you think about, they knew about the Steele dossier and these allegations, right, that Trump was a Russian asset. Those were not made public because they were too close to the election and could influence people's decisions. That's sort of the rule.
Well, I think we're living in different times now. And I mean, I think his criminality has been put on display now for the entire country to see.
And God help us if that becomes the case, because then, you know what? If I'm ever charged with a crime, I'm going to be like, No, I'm running for president.
That's right.
I said it before you said anything else. You can't charge me.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Like, again, either the law, like, we look at the mounting evidence. I mean, we knew because we watched it all happen live, what had taken place. They're just adding to like a fucking Mount Everest of evidence. And people are like, should we indict? Oh, it's such a difficult decision. Either we live in a nation of laws or we do not.
I mean, over half of Americans think that he should be criminally charged.
Yeah.
And I think that his criminality has been, really laid out for us by this January 6th committee. I think they've done a great job. I know they're not done yet, but I think they've done a really good job. And I hope that our Justice Department has the guts to do what needs to be done, because if they don't, then it'll be just another. I mean, look, either we have rule of law in this country or we don't. And Donald Trump should not be above the law.
And did you see his embarrassing comments about Cassidy Hutchinson?
No, I don't follow his ass.
He said, I never heard of her. I don't even know who she is, except that she wanted a job afterwards. Like, then he goes through a biography of their contact together. It's just like, again, Donald Trump knows that the people who's supporting him are imbeciles. They are deranged imbeciles, and they will believe anything. You know what?
I've said this before. He's pathetic.
Yeah. If only Republicans stopped eating his shit, but it's all they know. It's all they do. They're shit eaters.
And no, I don't read anything that he says on his little social platform, because he's a liar. He constantly lies. He lied from the whole time during his campaign. His first day in office, he lied about the crowds at his inauguration, and he just lied ever since. I mean, remember that one paper that literally added up all the lies? I mean, it was like, so no, I don't give a fuck what he says.
You know, there is one thing that he didn't lie about. He said during his candidacy that he was going to ban abortion and punish women, and here we are.
Oh, well,
that's the one thing that I hope that all the women who voted for him are happy about their part in destroying women's rights in America. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Happy 4th of July. Now, what do you say we move on and taste some new vegan products?
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products. Okay, so today we are tasting the brand new plant-based chicken breasts by Light Life. Now, I'm so excited to try this because I really don't think we have anything like this on the market. We have, Gardein used to make those chicken scallopinis that was kind of like a pounded chicken breast, you know, obviously plant-based. That was kind of like a blank slate that you could do anything you want with. But I haven't seen them in a while. I don't know if they've been discontinued. So when I saw these Light Life chicken breasts, I was like, thank you. Because, I mean, mostly what people have been making have been nuggets, but not something like this where you can, you know, use it in like a chicken piccata or a Milanese or a Parmesan or whatever. So anyway, I'm super excited to try these. Just to give you a little bit of information. These Light Life plant-based chicken breasts have 9 grams of protein per serving, and they are made from pea protein. Now, Miko, please tell us how you prepared these chicken breasts.
So there are two ways to prepare this. If you buy this frozen, thaw it in the refrigerator first overnight, and then either heat it up in a skillet for about 11 minutes, or you can do it in the oven.
Oh, and how did you do it?
I did this in the skillet.
Okay, and I just have to put a disclaimer out there about these Light Life plant-based chicken breasts, which is that one serving, in addition to your 9 grams of protein, also has over 1,000 milligrams of sodium, which is a lot. Like, I don't know how many people watch their sodium intake, but I have to. So that is a lot. So just be aware. I know that a lot of the, you know, plant-based meats have some sodium. This is, in my opinion, an extraordinarily large amount per serving.
We should also mention this is a very large chicken breast. This is like the size of 3 Gardein scallopinis, just to give perspective of this is a big chicken breast.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to note. Okay, Miko, let's try this and tell everybody what we think.
Let's do it.
Mmm. Mmm.
That's very tasty.
Mmm. Okay. I don't know. I don't love, but it's very, a nondescript, I guess. I definitely get the flavor from the saltiness. And I think the texture is pretty good, but I don't know. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm kind of in the middle.
I feel like, is this as good as, for example, Daring Chicken or some of the other products that have maybe a more chicken-like texture? Like, I think the Gardein Ultimate Chicken, what's it called?
Right, the Ultimate Chicken Fillets.
Fillets. Those, I think, have a better texture. They're a little bit juicier. I think this is fine, but it's not, I think, as impressive as some of the other products that we have in the market.
How would you describe the texture?
It's a little bit dense. I mean,
right.
Yeah. And, Yeah, it doesn't have the kind of fluffiness that... Is that a weird word
no,
to use?
No, no. I mean, you're saying it's dense. Like
the Guardian, the Guardian Ultimate Filet is very fluffy and juicy, and this is a little bit more dense. This kind of reminds me, in many ways, of the scallopini.
Okay.
The Guardian scallopini. I agree with you. The flavor is very light. So depending on what you might use this for, there isn't a lot of base flavor.
Yeah, I think that's on purpose. I think this is supposed to be kind of a blank slate that you can do whatever you want with. The texture, sadly, like Miko said, it is dense. I don't know. It's not very juicy. I kind of give this like a B. It's not.
I agree.
I don't think it's bad, but this is not, in my opinion, an A+ product. I think it's just okay.
Yeah, I wonder if you did this in a sauce, like if you, I don't know,
dressed it up,
you know, or cooked it so that it was a little bit. It's a little dry, I would say.
All right. Well, not necessarily a glowing review, but not a bad review either. We're kind of in the middle.
It's average.
Yeah. But there it is. Our review of Light Life's plant-based chicken breasts. We found these in the frozen section at Whole Foods. Miko, with that, what do you say we move on and do some vegan animal rights news?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. India is in the news this week. One of their governmental agencies called the Food Safety and Standards Authority is going to be defining and having like an official label for vegan food.
Oh.
Yes. This is really, you know, I saw this story and I thought, I wish we had this here. This is going to be like a stamp that they put on products that are vegan. And this is how they're defining it. They said, vegan food means the food or food ingredient, including additives, flavorings, enzymes, and carriers or processing aids that are not products of animal origin and in which, at no stage of production and processing, ingredients, including additives, flavors, enzymes, and carriers or processing aids that are of animal origin has been used. I wish we had this here. Not that I necessarily trust the USDA, who would, I guess, be our government agency in charge of this. But if you listen to the show, you'll know that recently, within the last year or so, Miko and I tried a product on the show that was labeled plant-based. And that was like the biggest name on the product. And I had assumed that since it said plant-based, it had no animal ingredients in it. And I was wrong. I found out later it was like a chicken nugget product. By Raised and Rooted. It's Tyson's company. Should have known. Piece of shit, Tyson. But yeah, it had egg in it. And so I feel like, you know, there are certain non-governmental organizations that do vegan stamps of approval. And I don't know. Maybe those can be trusted. I don't know. I still think in America, the best thing is just to read the ingredients. Because the truth is, things are being labeled all which ways. And this stuff is not regulated. You know, so I do applaud India for having the government, you know, stand up and take responsibility for this and say, we're going to let our public know when something is actually vegan. Okay, well done. Oh, I don't know if you can hear that. There's a helicopter. We are in LA. Okay, next story. There is a new report that was published in something called the Royal Society of Open Science. Okay. And basically what they're talking about is the prevalence of zoonotic diseases and how this can relate to the next pandemic. And they're saying that whether it's factory farming or small farming, farming animals for meat all has risk involved. And that the only way that we can really minimize this risk is to reduce meat consumption across the board.
It's a ticking time bomb.
It really is. I mean, you know, I read all the time about these. I mean, I'm talking about like, you know, things like avian flu or, you know, certain viruses that pigs get.
Wasn't there like a antibiotic resistant pig MRSA or something that spread to humans?
That's one of them. There's also like a pig gonorrhea or something. I mean, it's like, You know, and I read these articles and I think to myself, it's only a matter of time, you know? I mean, even COVID. I know that there's, you know, some debate over where it came from, but, you know, a lot of scientists believe that that came out of a wet market in Wuhan. So that is animal farming, you know? And so, you know, you just go, we know that keeping animals in these confined situations close to one another, you know, we know that it lowers their immune system. We know it spreads disease, and we know that these diseases can jump species. So it really is a dangerous situation. And we're doing this with the full knowledge of knowing what we're doing. We're insane. Oh, okay. Next story. Pinky Cole, the owner of Slutty Vegan, is in the news. She has been tapped by DoorDash to be their chief restaurant advisor.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, her job in this role will be to connect the perspectives of restaurant owners to the powers that be at DoorDash. She's like the in-between, the conduit. And I think that this is really cool because of the fact that she has a vegan business and a vegan restaurant. And I do wonder, DoorDash being one of the top, you know, food delivery services now, do wonder if this will have any, you know, any influence there.
Let's hope so.
Okay, next story. Clif Bar is in the news. They are launching their first ever treats for dogs.
Oh.
Yes, this is going to be a vegan jerky that they're making for dogs. It's going to come in three different varieties. They have a sweet potato and blueberry, a pumpkin and apple, and a butternut squash and cranberry.
Yum.
I think that this is great. I guess Clif Bar maybe is going to make pet food now. I love it. Thank you, Clif Bar. Okay, next story. Beyond Meat is in the news. Beyond Meat is set to release a brand new product. This is going to be a whole cut vegan steak.
Really? And when is that coming?
They're saying sometime this year. It's going to be in a sliced format, whatever. I guess it's going to be like cut.
Sliced steak?
Yeah. I don't know what that means. But anyway, their CEO, Ethan Brown, said that this is going to be one of their best products to date. Let's see about that.
You know, everything they make is great, so I'm excited to try this.
Are you saying that as a shareholder?
Yes.
Or as
we
just
should,
a fan?
Both.
I mean, remember we talked a couple weeks ago how people were saying like vegan steak is like the next big thing?
And here it is.
So I will be excited to try this. Of course, when it comes out, we'll get it on the show. I'm still looking for the jerky. I can't find the Beyond Meat jerky. Although one of our podcast listeners, Anne, she told me that she found it at CVS. So maybe I need to get my ass down to CVS. I don't know. But all right, Ethan, we will try the Beyond Meat steak when it's available.
And I hope it's a big hit.
Me too. Because my bank account. Okay, anyway. All right, next story. There is a vegan fast food chain on the East Coast called Plant Burger. It's PLNT Burger. I'm sure I'm saying that right. How else could you say that? Okay, anyway. They are announcing a major expansion. So they started out inside of a Whole Foods in Maryland. And then they expanded to more Whole Foods markets in the Washington, D.C. and Pennsylvania area. But now they're saying that by the end of 2023, they're going to have 30 restaurants open on the East Coast.
I love it.
Yeah. One of them they're doing in New York City. So New York is going to be getting one of these. Do you think we're going to get one in New Jersey?
What about Ventnor City, New Jersey?
That's what I'm saying.
I hear it's the big hopping place now.
So yeah, that's a big story. Well, we didn't have to talk about them, vegan animal rights news, but there was this whole article written about where we were this winter, calling the town like bougie or whatever. And now all the local residents are like up in arms about it. It's interesting. Local news fascinates and amuses me. But anyway, back to the problem. I will be looking to see if we get one of these plant burgers in the Garden State, because if we do, I want to try it. Okay, next story. Trader Joe's is in the news. They are releasing another new vegan product. This time, it is a vegan sour cream.
Oh, yes. That's nice.
And it's going to be coconut-based. We should get a tub of this shit and try it on the show.
We shall.
Thank you, Trader Joe's. Okay, next story. There is a European food technology company called Paleo. And they announced this week that they have created 6 different heme proteins using fermentation and no animal stuff. So this is what Impossible Foods did. They created heme, which is this compound found in blood. And they did it using like yeast and fermentation and I don't know how they do it. Some sciencey shit, but they do it. And the heme is what makes the Impossible Burger taste so much like meat. That's what they say, is that the heme is what gives meat its flavor. And in animal meat, it, you know, it's just, like I said, it's the stuff in blood that gets into the muscle and it's gross. But anyway, this company in Europe made heme to taste like beef, chicken, pork, sheep, tuna, and one more, extinct woolly mammoth.
Wow.
So okay. Now you can have vegan...
Who knew there was such a market for extinct woolly mammoth flavor?
Now you can have vegan mammoth meat. What the fuck are we doing? Like, can I ask, why is this? Why did they do this? And how do they know what a woolly mammoth tastes like? Who the fuck's eating a woolly mammoth?
I don't know.
No one's eaten that in like 10,000 years. And now, like, this is what we're doing?
I guess we'll get the mammoth burger and people will be like, yeah, plant-based.
I mean, I don't know. Do you think this is just a gimmick?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Well, anyway, we shall see. Thank you, Paleo. Aptly named. Okay, and
what's next, Tyrannosaurus Rex burger?
That's what I'm saying. Like, theme? You know, like, what's going on here? Like, you know, how about with the clean meat? You know how they're like, well, if we ever get that. But like, you know, they say you can make meat from anything. Maybe they could take a frozen woolly mammoth and fucking make woolly mammoth burgers. I mean, now they're doing it. They're just doing it plant-based. I don't even understand how they know what the heme of the woolly mammoth would have been like. No one's seen a woolly mammoth.
It's a mystery wrapped inside an enigma, etc.
And finally, my last story. This kind of goes along with this other one, if you can believe it. There is a company out of Sweden, a plant-based meat producer called Oomph.
I remember Oomph.
We've had Oomph. Okay. They say that they've created a plant-based burger that tastes like human. So now you can have a veggie burger that tastes like human meat.
Uh-huh. Why?
I don't
Why?
Know, but okay. And they were selling it. I didn't hear about this at the time. They were selling it during Halloween. And they're saying that, like, if you want to know what human flesh tastes like, they have this human meat plant-based burger. It was this whole campaign. And it won a silver prize at the Cannes Lion Festival, which is like some sort of festival that awards creative marketing people. Again, is this a gimmick or did they really try, you know, did they talk to Hannibal Lecter and say, you know, we want you to try these 3 samples. Which one tries the most, you know, which one tastes the most like meat?
I am speechless at why resources were devoted to something like this. I don't
know. Do we need this?
Did we need human flesh tasting plant-based burgers?
Do we need this in the vegan world? Like a human burger?
People already think that vegans are odd, so this doesn't help. Thank you, Sweden.
Thank you, Sweden.
Oomph.
And Oomph. With that, we have come to the end. I mean, maybe they should see if Anthony Hopkins is available for a commercial. Because
I mean,
this
now
would
that I would watch. You know what? I take it back. Yeah. He could be opening a Chianti and be like, guess what I'm grilling?
I don't need to kill people anymore because now I have Oomph human burger. And with that, we have come to the end of another show. I want to thank everyone so much for listening. We love doing the show and we love you guys. Again, if you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so while we're still allowed to be citizens of this country before they round us up for being gay. And you can do that on Twitter. I am at VeganAri. Miko is at Miko Alon, or you can use our hashtag VeganAri Show. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing while you still can before they pull it on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one more thing, if you don't mind, you know, incriminating yourself and you want to help us spread the word, we would be ever so grateful for that. Whatever you can do, if you want to retweet me when I tweet about the show, I greatly appreciate that. If you want to make your own social media post about the show, I love it. If you want to post about it in a Facebook group that you're in or a Reddit, I love that. And like I said, the stuff that costs money, I'm here for that too. The TV commercials, the billboards, the bus ads, the skywriting airplanes, all of it. I'm available for filming. I'm available for voiceover. Miko's available for filming. Miko's available for voiceover. Just let us know like a week or so before, because I need to do like some serious skin regimen stuff. You know, get myself prepared. I'm gonna drink a lot of water. I'm gonna eat really healthy that week so that I look my best when I'm on camera. Miko, anything you need to say before we sign off?
I think I'm good.
Okay, then have a wonderful week, everybody. And if we don't hear from you during the week, we will chat with you next weekend. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, guys. We are young.